fucked her. She took out four men using nothing other than one of those big knives like the, yeah, that thing you got there, Ryan.
Yardy indicated the panga that Ryan had strapped to his thigh, and the one-eyed man shot a glance at JB. The description sounded uncannily like Gloria and the Gate Tribe. The armorer's eyebrows shot up, but before he had a chance to say anything, both his attention and Ryan's were taken by a sudden outbreak in one of the bars.
Holy shit!
Three blasters. Small caliber hand blasters.
Okay, let's take them. Almost glad of the opportunity to get away from the windbag, who was still staring blankly at JB's ability to determine the nature of the blaster fire, both Ryan and the armorer were through the open doorway, opting to unsheathe their knives rather than use blasters. Inside, most of the clientele had taken cover, and two men stood at each end of the bar, holding blasters. A third, with his back to the door, was slumping to the ground from a slug that had hit him in the stomach, blood dripping onto the floor. Keeping low, JB and Ryan exchanged a look, and by the subtlest indications, chose their targets.
Guess you wouldn't want to put those down, would you, gentlemen?
Fuck you!
Yeah, fuck you!
I guess someone's getting fucked then.
Moving around the tables, JB circled his man, who was torn between turning to this new threat or taking out the opponent with the blaster.
Quit moving, bitch!
Right, whatever you say.
JB launched himself at the man. The armorer's Tekna knife speared through his blaster hand, the momentum pinning it to the bar. JB quickly chopped the screaming man in the throat, and the man slumped to the floor. Meanwhile, Ryan had come to his man from the side. His blaster-wielding opponent had no doubt about whom to fire on. He swiveled and took aim at the one-eyed man. Ryan dove under the line of fire and felt the bullet pluck at his shirt as he reached his opponent. Hitting the man on the solar plexus with his full weight, Ryan drove him into the edge of the bar, cracking ribs. He then brought the hilt of the panga down on his head, hitting him on the temple. At this point, the sec chief finally burst in.
What the?
Sorry for the interruption, Yardy. What were you saying?
Must do something. Find him now, before too late.
Jack paced up and down the length of the shack that had been given to the companions as a home while they were in Crossroads. He was agitated and upset, and clearly wanted to move as soon as possible in search of the gate.
We have to wait, at least for a short while.
Jack stopped and looked at him, red eyes burning bright in his white, scarred visage.
Why?
For one thing, because the others don't know about this, and we need to know what they say.
Which was true. Jack and Dean had returned from their day's work in the fields when Ryan and JB had come off their sec shift and told the youths what they'd learned from Yardy. Given the near certainty that the fat sec chief had described the gate, coupled with the outbreak of the pox disease that Mildred and the others had been working on, matters seemed to be conspiring to confirm Jack's Matran's vision.
Dad's right, Jack. It's not something I want to think about, and I know you don't. But we need to know more about the disease they might have before we go looking. Especially if it makes the gate as wild as Gloria was in your dream.
Jack paused and thought about that. All his life he'd acted on instinct, but since his time with the companions, he had learned the value of stopping to consider before acting.
Okay. Wait and see what they say.
He sat down brooding, and what followed seemed to be the lengthiest amount of time any of them had ever had to wait for anything. Eventually, Mildred, Christy, and Doc returned from the makeshift hospital they'd been manning, leaving Hector and a couple of Ville women to help him through the night shift.
Despite the other horrors I have witnessed during my time here, I had hoped I would never have to see this particular evil again.
Doc sat stiffly on the edge of his bed. He looked exhausted, as did the others.
It's like there's nothing we can do.
There really isn't.
Mildred was exhausted too, but not so tired that she didn't look sharply at Jack, sensing the tension in the room.
What is it, Jack? John? What's happened?
Something that may have a bearing on what's going on here.
Which is?
We think the gate's been through here.
Gotta find him.
Now wait, we don't...
No, John, if that's true, then Jack's right. We should get after them as soon as possible. It'd be good to see them, now that that bitch Margie is dead. And we did promise to help them with the Illuminated Ones. Not to mention that they may have something that tells us where this bastard disease has come from and what we can do about it.
That makes sense, but we need to find out, at least roughly, where the hell they could be camped. We need to head in the right direction, after all.
There is one thing that we all seem to be overlooking.
What, Doc?
It is more than a trifling coincidence, would you not say, that both we and the gate seem to have arrived in the same place, given that the Mattrans chambers were supposed to send us to random destinations?
You mean the comp settings didn't change that much?
Exactly, Master Cawdor.
Hot pipe! Then that could mean they didn't vary that much from the original settings.
And do you know what that could mean?
Well...
It could mean that the illuminated ones are nearby.
Then the smallpox could possibly be their doing. They're just twisted enough to do it. Goddamn biological warfare.
Wait. If the illuminated ones are near and what you say is true, Mildred, then we have two aims. First, we need to find the gate to see if they're infected. Second, we need to track down the redoubt where those scumsuckers are holed up and finish what we started, in that order. But even before we do that, we need to try to do as much as possible for the people here. Mildred, how much time do we have?
Hard to say for sure, Ryan, but certainly not long. The pox seems to run its course in about 3 weeks. We had the first two die tonight.
And there is most certainly no cure. We could already be incubating.
Oh, shit!
I agree with you, my dear Ryan, that we cannot rush into this. But be cautioned that our available time is finite.
Doc's right. The clock is ticking.
The next day, while they were in the med building, Mildred bided her time before asking. It had been a difficult night for Hector, and two more of the infected had bought the farm during his spell on duty. The exhausted Ville healer, who had no ideas on how to combat the disease or even alleviate the suffering, had retired to his shack to try to get some rest. The women who'd assisted him had returned to their homes, sworn to secrecy. Chances were they were too scared by what they'd seen to raise the subject. For a while, Mildred, Christie, and Doc had been on their own in the med building, tending as best as possible to those who were ill. There were three new cases, all with mild blisters and a high temperature. A casual observer would have put it down to chickenpox. The patients were surprised when they'd been detained. The mounting problem was causing the conscientious Ville healer acute anxiety, and it was only a few hours before Hector returned to the fray.
You'll make yourself ill if you don't rest, Hector.
Chances are I'll get ill anyway, being around here all the time.
Fair point.
On the far side of the med building, Christie and Doc were arguing about the contents of a poultice that the red-haired woman wanted to use. Doc, despite his distrust of white coats, had an almost religious faith in the use of plundered medical supplies and was arguing his scientific corner while Christie attempted to use her herbal skills, learned from Mother Sonia in her Homeville Harmony. From the corner of her eye, Mildred noticed Hector deriving some amusement from the exchange between the two, and she judged that now was a good time to ask.
Hector.
Yeah, Mildred.
We heard something about a tribe that camps near here and keeps to itself.
Could be.
A tribe where the women are the fighters. Small, don't wear many clothes, beat the living shit out of men twice their size.
Yeah, I'd be a liar if I said I didn't know who you were talking about.
We've come across them before. We were allies, but got separated. It'd be good to meet up with them again if we knew where they were camped.
I don't get out enough to know for sure, but I do hear they're in the more densely wooded part southwest of here. At least that's what I'm told.
That's very interesting. Maybe we should check that out.
Be my guest.
Oh, yeah, one other thing.
What is it?
We were allies against another group, real heavy blaster freaks who lived underground. We got separated trying to follow them. I don't...
Mildred stopped dead. Hector was looking at her with pure fear dancing in his eyes.
I don't know anything about that. And if you don't want to find yourself having accidents in the middle of the night, I really wouldn't go around asking people about things like that.
The Ville healer quickly turned and walked away, leaving Mildred staring thoughtfully after him. The midday sun was beating down on the plowed fields. Dean, Jack, and the rest of the Ville workers had broken for food and drink and were gathered in the shade afforded by the side of the stables housing the plow horses.
Best part of the day.
Curtis, I always figured that the best part of the day for you was when you spent your paycheck in the Gaudy.
That's the night, old man. I was talking about the day.
Now, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hear it can get real wild here after dark. My dad is on Barsec, and although he hasn't seen them yet, He's heard about these wild women that live outside and only come in to trade. Apparently, they can stand up in a fight with any man and best them.
Oh, yeah. I seen them in action, all right. Real tiny, most of them, but they...